All right, so let's jump right into this deep dive. We're really digging into the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. And you guys know we like to go beyond the headlines. We're talking about the hidden threat, the stuff that doesn't always make the front page, chemical pollution. We've got some really interesting articles about Helene's impact, especially down in Florida and along the Gulf Coast. You know, the lack of transparency about industrial chemical risks is honestly pretty concerning.
It's easy to get caught up in the immediate aftermath of a hurricane, right? The flooding, the wind damage, people without power, it's all awful. But then there's this underlying threat, something that might not be as visually striking, but can be just as devastating in the long run. Those industrial sites, man, they take a beating during these storms.
It's that whole out of sight, out of mind thing. But we can't afford to ignore this. One image from an article really stuck with me. Flooded oil tanks in Louisiana. And not even from Helene, from a previous hurricane. It just goes to show that this isn't a one-time thing. It keeps happening.
Exactly. And when you think about the types of industries that tend to be located in these hurricane-prone areas, it's kind of mind-blowing. We're talking paper mills, fertilizer plants. We even saw an article about that retired nuclear power plant in Florida. And it makes you wonder who in their right mind thought putting these facilities right in the path of potential hurricanes was a good idea.
Wait, back up a second. A retired nuclear plant. Okay, so what does that even mean? It's not operational, but it's still a threat.
It's a good question. Just because a plant is retired doesn't mean it's suddenly hazard-free. You still got radioactive material on site. Plus, they're often near waterways, which, is necessary for operations, but also makes them really vulnerable to storm surge.
So you've got all these industrial facilities, many of them sitting right in harm's way. And we're talking about hurricane zones here, places that get hit again and again. I'm not gonna lie, this is starting to make me a little nervous.
You're right to be concerned. And here's another thing to consider. It's not just a coastal problem. Runoff from industrial sites further inland, especially those near mountains, can wash pollutants downstream, and I'm talking really fast. One article mentioned the French Broad River in North Carolina during Helene. It rose almost 12 feet in just 12 hours.
12 feet in 12 hours? That's like my entire house underwater in half a day. That's insane.
I
The
know.
amount of industrial waste that runoff must be carrying. We're talking seriously contaminated water. Basically, this is what gets me. We're talking about these potential chemical hazards, a lot of them in places that are like prime hurricane territory. Then you add in that rapid runoff that can spread contamination. I mean, it's a scary thought.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So why aren't we hearing more about this? Shouldn't this be like a much bigger part of the conversation when we talk about hurricane preparedness and recovery?
You hit the nail on the head, and unfortunately, the answer is, there's just not a lot of transparency when it comes to industrial chemical releases, especially during these kinds of events. Those articles you sent me, they really paint a picture of just how little information is out there.
So it's like an information blackout. What's causing that?
One big thing is, the EPA has those risk management plans, right? The ones that are supposed to lay out the potential dangers at these sites, they can be really vague and almost impossible to actually get your hands on.
Seriously.
Even for researchers. They often cite security concerns, but that kind of leaves everyone else in the dark.
So even if you're trying to be proactive, do your own research, figure out what's going on in your area, you're basically out of luck.
Pretty much. And get this, a lot of states, including some right there on the Gulf Coast, they actually suspend environmental regulations during emergencies. I mean, I get it, everyone's overwhelmed, but still.
So we're cutting corners on safety. And then not even being upfront about it. That doesn't sound like a good combination.
It's not, and it can have very real consequences.
Are there any like specific examples of this lack of transparency really hurting communities?
Definitely. Remember those pictures from Houston after Hurricane Harvey hit in 2017? Those chemical plants on fire after the flooding?
Yeah, those were some intense images.
Those fires released a ton of really nasty pollutants into the air, and people had no idea what they were being exposed to, what the long-term effects might be. It took weeks, even months, for that information to come out. And by then, what good is it? It left people feeling scared, angry, and for good reason.
So it's easy to feel helpless. Like, what can we even do? But I was reading that Scientific American article you sent, and there was actually some good news in there. They were talking about Rice University and how they're mapping these risks and trying to empower people to, you know, take action.
Oh, absolutely. The Center for Coastal Futures, they're doing amazing work. They actually have this interactive map, and you can zoom in on your neighborhood, see which industries are nearby, what kind of chemicals they're dealing with, even how vulnerable they are to flooding.
Wow, so you can actually see what's in your backyard, so to speak.
Exactly.
Knowledge is power, right? That kind of information could really change things.
It's huge because when communities know what they're up against, they can start demanding better. They can push for stricter safety measures, tougher regulations, more transparency from these companies and the government agencies that are supposed to be regulating them.
So it's about being proactive, not waiting for the next disaster to happen, but getting ahead of it.
Exactly. We're talking about community-based air and water monitoring, emergency plans that actually address chemical hazards, even advocating for people to relocate if they're living in high-risk areas. There's so much we can do.
It really underscores that, yeah, hurricanes are natural disasters, but we have a role to play here. The decisions we make, how prepared we are, it can make a huge difference.
And, you know, speaking of impacts, we can't forget about that Tampa Bay Times piece you sent, the one about red tide in Pinellas County after Helene. Things took a bit of a turn there.
Yeah, red tide. That's never a good sign. For those of us who might not be familiar, can you give us a quick rundown? Like, what is red tide exactly and what's the connection to hurricanes?
So red tide, it's this harmful algal bloom. There's this microscopic organism, Karenia brevis. And when it multiplies like crazy, it releases these toxins into the water. Really bad news for marine life.
I've seen those photos of dead fish washing up on the beach. It's awful.
It is. And it's not just the ecological impact either. These toxins can become airborne, especially when waves are crashing on the shore. People can have respiratory problems, especially anyone with asthma or other breathing issues.
So it's like a 1-2 punch. First, you've got the immediate threat of chemical spills from those flown at industrial sites, and then this kind of delayed effect of red tide, potentially fueled by that same runoff.
That's exactly what that Tampa Bay Times article was getting at. It's still not clear if Helene actually caused these red tide blooms or just made existing ones worse, but we know that flooding washed a lot of stuff into the water, you know, sewage, industrial runoff, who knows what else, and all that. Well, it's like fertilizer for red tide.
And like we were talking about earlier, actually getting information about what's in that runoff, it's next to impossible. So it's like we're swimming blind here.
It's the uncertainty that gets to you, you know, there are just so many unknowns.
It makes you think. Next time there's a hurricane, I know I won't just be worried about the wind and the rain, you know. I'll be thinking about what else might be lurking in that water. But even more importantly, thinking about what I can do now, what we can all do to be prepared and demand better protection. That's what it comes down to, getting informed, getting involved, and making our voices heard.
Well said. Knowledge is power, and we need to use it to build a safer future.